word this morning as we look to 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll see the first seven verses this morning and try to dig into those briefly in our series on living life in a hostile world. The significance of the Christian life in a hostile world. This is a passage that's passed over oftentimes. It's a passage that's largely misunderstood, and it's a passage that I think is good for the people of God to chew on, for those of you who are married especially, but for those who are yet to be married or those who have been married and yet the Lord has called you in your singleness to this point. And certainly it has many practical dimensions to it in the way in which we live in this world, but the way in which the gospel calls us to be representative of how the gospel has changed us. That we are people who are called to fit into this world, not in the sense of conformity, but in the sense of orderliness. That's what it means to submit. We saw that a few weeks ago. But orderliness. We are called to be orderly in the world that has authorities that are over us. And even within marriages, we are called to be orderly within those, but also to be ministers within that realm of responsibility. So I invite you to look now to God's holy word from 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry, clothing that you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle, quiet spirit, which is in God's sight very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Beloved, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let me pray. Lord, we give you thanks for your word this day. We pray that you would speak to us once again from it, that your spirit would change us in Christ's name. Amen. Well, if you want to get the immediate attention of every woman in the church, read the first five verses of this passage. Or go and read the other several verses throughout the scriptures that are very much similar, like the Apostle Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 5. And you will certainly get the attention of every woman in the church. And if you want to get the attention of the husbands in the church, read the final verse here in chapter 3 and wait a minute. Wait a couple of minutes maybe. And perhaps read it again and then watch the wives look to the left and to the right and then jab their husband to wake up, and you have gained their attention as the pastor. These verses are easily passed over, but these are good wake-up verses for us as the people of God, and we do need to let them grasp our attention, to gain our attention. Oftentimes these verses and the others that are similar to them on submission to authority and orderliness in the Christian home, oftentimes these are seen as historically anachronistic, historically out of date, or just old-fashioned, irrelevant. And yet there's so much here for us today, especially in this 21st century, speedy, hostile, crazy world in which we live here in Charlotte. And Peter has entered into the most fundamental of situations, the marriage. It is the fundamental basic institution in this world, marriage. The marriage relationship. He speaks of fashion and beauty here. He uses this as an illustration, and in God's providence, for his glory and for our good, the Spirit of Christ speaks these words to us this morning, that we listen to them and each of us whether we're married or not, apply these things in our lives. Living in submission is the mark, the defining mark of the Christian life. Living in submission is a defining mark of the Christian life. It's important that we understand that. We saw this when Peter applied it to our employments, even speaking of those who were in the old Roman culture as slaves. How we deal with our bosses, our masters, to those who have governance over us, even in the political and governmental spectrum of things. Submission is the way of Jesus Christ himself, and therefore it is of us as well. We are to always obey the Lord, and that is the highest of ones that we obey. And we render these things to the government, that which is over us, but we ultimately serve the Lord. Submission was the way of Christ. It is the way for the believer, and we submit to others out of reverence and out of our worship and our adoration for Jesus Christ, not for the sake of submitting. Submission to others is because of our reverence for Christ. It frees us to submit. And this is what Peter begins with here with these words. He says, similarly or in the same way. And now he goes to wives first and then to husbands. Marriage is important in that there is submission and there is honor to be present. And that's what the Apostle Peter is saying here. And so often, the hardest place for submission and honor is in the home. The interaction of husbands and wives. Even in relationships within the body of Christ, submission and honor can be hard. But in the home, it's particularly hard. And that's why Peter speaks to the issue here. I've seen it many times, the roll of the eyes, the exasperated sigh, the huffy sort of comment, the lack of confidence or respect that a wife can give to her husband. And Peter says that here, that it's unbecoming of the beautification of the Christian life of a woman who's transformed by grace in the process of grace at work within her. And this is important for us to see, as Peter says, it's respectful and pure conduct in submission. And I've seen it often as well, where the husband is not understanding of the wife. He doesn't listen. That's what she has to do. Not endeavoring to honor her or do what God has called him or created them to be together. And they're too busied with their workload. They dump off their responsibilities on their wife, or they treat their wife like their mother, or whatever it is. But again, they somehow don't see their wife as the helpmate for whom God had created and commanded them to be. I've seen it so many times where the wife or the husband, instead of interacting with one another and functioning as a team, as one, where they push off duties to one another, and somehow the spouse that's more externally submissive has to pick up all the extra stuff. And it causes incredible friction, and there's a lack of submissiveness, there's a lack of honoring, whatever it is, somebody in the marriage prioritizes their self. And this too is something that I've observed. I've seen these things. I see it in my own marriage, in our own lives, but I see it and hear it and observe it in the Christian culture that is around us. I see it, I hear it, I observe it with you, and you with me, I'm sure. But here, the Apostle Peter says that the testimony, the credibility of the gospel is at stake here. It's important how you treat one another, those of you who are married especially. If there's a place where it is hard to submit and hard to honor, it's likely the marriage, but it is the starting point for so many other things. The testimony of the gospel is at stake. How to submit and how to honor one another in the marriage reflects the gospel itself that is somehow blossoming and growing and rooting deeply in your own life. In the Roman world, not altogether different from the world in which we're today, there were many more Christian women than men. I can't get into all the reasons for that, but often women were the first to respond to the call of the gospel even before their husbands. That still seems to be true, and by and large, even today. There's a spiritual sensitivity to women that often precedes that of the husband. And this is partially what Peter's addressing here. And so Peter, if we think about him, that he meets Lydia on that bank of the river with other women who are God-fearers, and he's able to preach the gospel to them, and some of them believe. And then Lydia, who would go on to be one of the founding members of the church in Europe. Women are often smarter to the things of God than men. And this is what Peter is addressing here, and the way he says, first, wives be submissive. This is not a passage that is reflecting the way in which women are lesser and men are greater. That's not at all what's here. So we need to understand it within its right conduct. But in the Roman world, there were many mixed marriages. And by mixed, I mean an unyoked marriage where the woman was a believer and the husband wasn't. And the reality is that perhaps the woman came to faith first and the husband did not. Or the marriage was arranged and the woman who believed was given to a man who didn't believe. All sorts of scenarios we find ourselves in marriages, don't we? Some of us find ourselves in marriages that are just difficult. A husband who's just hard to deal with, a wife that's a struggler. We know these kinds of things. It's the reality of dealing with people and dealing with marriages and the intimacy that goes into all of this. And Peter's addressing this for us today. It's an illustration of submission. And it's important for those of you who aren't married that you see it this way. If this is to be true of the marriage, it's to be true of you who are unmarried as well and how you deal with relationships in terms of submission and honoring. It's easy for us to complain about people that we're in close connection with or to look down on them and not say anything, to just be simply not honoring of them, not building up of them. But the emphasis here is on the credibility of the Christian faith. And so the Apostle Peter uses this word here that how you conduct yourself, wives, is crucial to the winning of your husband, the winning of his soul. Showing the outside world the merits of your goodness because you've been changed by the gospel. That you can live by the grace of the Lord Jesus and it changes you in such a way that it has profound effects on others who are around you. In the year 397, Augustine of Hippo penned his famous Confessions. And I commend that to you. It's an oldie but goodie. I'd get you a copy of it if you'd like it. But it's this man revealing all of the things of his life. And he's talking about who he truly is in the sight of God. The struggles, the difficulties that he has. It is a classic and it's wonderful. But he reveals a little bit about his mother whose name was Monica. She was a Roman citizen. She had come to faith in Christ and she was married to his father, Patricius, and he was an unbeliever. And Augustine wrote this of his mother, Monica. He said, "She served her husband as her master and did all that she could to win him for you, O Lord. Speaking of him, of you by her conduct, by which you made her beautiful. Finally, when her husband was at the end of his earthly life, she gained him for you." That is certainly reflecting this passage in Peter. In my experience in ministry, I've seen that take place time and time again, where it takes a long time for a stubborn, hard-headed husband to be softened, and yet to be softened enough that they receive the grace of God, the Spirit of God at work there in their lives. But it happens. And so women, you are a ministry to your husband, and especially so if your husband isn't a believer. A ministry to them. Even if your husband is a believer, your ministry to him is incredibly important. How you conduct yourselves is important because you don't serve them directly, you serve Christ. This is what Peter is saying here. He's not saying that you're to be the wife trampled over by your husband. Nowhere is that implied anywhere. You should not infer that from this. Peter condemns the, chapter 1 and verse 18, he condemns the empty way of living, of the old way of life, where abuses and disregard for people would be part of the old ordering of things. This is the higher life he's speaking of here, and the way in which we conduct ourselves. And Peter is saying to you, you are free to submit and serve your husband who might not believe or might not treat you with honor that he's supposed to, because you ultimately serve Jesus Christ, who loves you, who's called you to be his, who's chosen you as precious in his sight. And so this isn't anything of subjugation or enslavement or abuse. The Bible condemns such things. Peter is speaking here very, very clearly that the authority with which a husband is to have is placed on him because of the responsibilities of the Lord, and that's on him. But on you as wives, to be submissive because you serve Christ. You don't have to fight. You don't have to argue or to fight about whatever it is. I once had a member in my church who, the husband wasn't a believer and he didn't want to tithe. He didn't want to give any money, and he complained against his wife, and she would only drop in coins literally to the offering plate, and she felt incredibly guilty. Or to the husband who is constantly antagonistic to the things of the faith, or whatever it is, the lack of encouragement or the no encouragement at all to the things of the faith. That's hard on a spouse. And the Apostle Paul says here that you, as a believer, are to live in a submissive way and thus show the gospel at work in your life, that you may win them for the cause of Christ. You're free not to constantly tangle with them. You're free to serve him. Let Christ take care of these things. That's why Peter says, the wife is to adorn herself for him. Don't let your adorning be external in the braiding of hair. All these beautiful things that a woman goes about. This isn't a condemnation of those things. Women, you are to adorn yourselves and to be beautiful, and men need to take care of themselves. That's not what he's saying here. He's using it as a way of emphasis of how much we ought to be about the work of adornment in our own hearts, in our own lives. The emphasis on this internal rather than merely external adornment. It's to motivate us, but to motivate your husbands, your spouses, to godliness. Peter gives a striking example as well here. He speaks of Sarah, the wife of Abraham. This is a hard passage. And when I saw this, I thought, oh no, this is going to be a hard one to explain. Sarah had to submit. Even when Abraham, in his lack of faith, God told him that he had these promises, that he would receive an heir. And in his lack of faith, he took on another woman and had another child with another woman. And Sarah had to deal with that. What a mess! And Peter's emphasis here is not to condone that sort of life, but simply to condone the faith of Sarah and to condone the fact that she had to deal with a mess. And if Sarah can do it without fear, what of the people of God? She is the representative of deep faith here, and that's the model for us, is what he is saying. A deep and growing beauty of a woman who trusts in the Lord will have its effect on her husband. But way above all of that, her spiritual beauty is ultimately seen as precious by the Lord. Women, you serve the Lord. And that gives you incredibly high status, whatever your situation is or will be. You serve the Lord, and therefore you can serve anybody else. But Peter goes on to husbands. He's not just going to leave it onto the wives here. He says, in the same way, you serve Christ first. In the same way, no different than the believing wife, you believing husbands are called to be humble and compassionate and to honor. Honor your wives. The wife is called to be submissive. The husband is called to honor the wife. It's easier to be intentionally submissive than to honor somebody as a husband. Because honor is a couple extra steps further. Honor is extremely intentional. You have to be thinking about how to do it. You have to work at it. Notice, it's because showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Peter is saying here that you are both in the sight of God precious because you're heirs of the grace of God. There's no differentiation between man and woman in terms of the sight of God and what He's doing in your lives. But there is this difference. The status is the same. You're both heirs. But the woman is the weaker vessel. This isn't just physical strength where a man is stronger than the woman. This is in responsibility. Weaker vessel here means one who's possessed with less responsibility from God. It was on Adam. Men, you are responsible for your wife. Your vessel carries much more weight in the eyes of God than your wife. If your wife doesn't yet believe, it's on you to honor her. It's on you to win her. It's on you to make sure things function in a godly way in your home. The responsibility is on you, and the Lord holds you accountable for it, even beyond that of your wife. That's what He means here by the weaker vessel. You're to love her. That's what it means to honor, to serve, to seek her best, always to help that she sees Christ in every way, to serve her. But it's good that we notice again here, honor. It's not just respect that's here. Respect's a given. You should be respectful to all people. But it's important here that we see that it's honor. And the reason we honor our wives is because God has given her to you to endeavor to honor. It's God who has given her to you. That's the way it was in the garden. God gave Adam Eve. It wasn't that Adam needed her. It was that God saw and looked at Adam and said, "You're not complete without her." Adam didn't even know that. God wanted to make it perfect. So He gave Eve to Adam to make it even better. And so therefore you honor your wife because God gave her to you. How important that is for us to see this morning. If that's the case for husbands and for wives, how much more for those of you who are yet to be married? Notice the Apostle Peter says that if you don't honor your wife, if you fail to do so, it not only hurts your relationship with them, but it hurts your relationship with God. Again, extra responsibility on you men. Your prayers won't be answered, Peter says. They'll be hindered. That's a terrible thought. God's not going to hear your prayers if you don't honor your wife. You women didn't think of that, did you? You know, you don't remind them of that. Hey, the Lord's not going to listen to your prayers if you don't honor me. It's important you see that. Because if you're not submissive, then that probably is the case there too, that your prayers aren't listened to. It's the discipline of the Lord that's here. How important it is that in the marriage that we function together as one, and that you as wives and as husbands understand the spiritual dimension to things. You can't just go on living for yourself. You have to live for others. You're responsible for the other. Let me put this all together. as we bring this to a bit of a close. Here we are called in chapters 1 and 2 to be this holy priesthood, precious in the sight of God. We have this incredible spiritual status with the Lord. We are to be not of this world, but we are within this world. We look for this kingdom that's beyond us, and yet we're in these kingdoms that are here on earth, and it's hostile, and our relationships mean something. They reflect the way in which God has done something in us and uses us, and our lives are purposed for His glory. And here we're called to an intimacy with God and His in our relationship with Him, just as husbands are called in the relationship with their wife and wives with your husbands. And if you have a problem in your marriage, it hinders your relationship with God. That's what Peter is saying. And so how you care for one another in your marriage is reflective of the way in which you're in relationship with God Himself. It's important that we see here not only how we submit to others around us and honor those around us. This is important because if it's true for the marriage, how much more in every other relationship? Well, brothers and sisters, it is the little things for most of us in marriage, to bring it back in a practical way. It is the little things. It's the things that are said and the things that aren't said. It's the things that you do and the things that you don't do. And you all can take a piece of paper and jot those things down. I don't have to try to bring out those illustrations. We all know where we fall short. But these are things that the Lord has called us to deal with. And so you need to submit and you need to honor. And wherever you are in these relationships, this is where God has granted you grace to believe and to trust Him and to work these things out in your sanctification. To not take advantage of your spouse. To not let things go. To not to degrade them. To not look down on them. To not take any bit of dignity from them. To not overwork your spouse. To not push responsibilities on them so you have me time. But that you endeavor to give them rest all the time. And to honor and to support, to submit, to remove resentments. And for those of you who aren't married yet, this too applicable, because holiness becomes those who are deep in the faith and shallow and false kinds of holiness, outward things. These things become seen in our relationships. And it's important that in our closest of relationships that we are submissive and honoring. That we're not fake. That we don't disrespect. That we're not off-putting. That we show all of the dignity, even if it's not due to them. But that we're not people of spiritual arrogances, or we're more mature than these other people we move about, but that we demonstrate honor and submissiveness. The greatest maturity of your love for Christ is shown not in your age, not in your ability to stand up before people and lead. It's in your ability to submit and honor others. To deflect attention. I had a member of the church in Alabama that I served. She's in the presence of the Lord now. Her husband was not easy to live with. He grumbled and complained all the time. And he was especially hard on her in her old age and in his old age. And everybody knew it. And it wasn't because of her. She would always serve him. And she always made him look better than he was. And she always made it seem like when he couldn't be here for this or for that, she just made him constantly respectable. She served him. And then when it came to the things of the church, there were so many things that she could do that were amazing. But she wasn't the one who put together all the church dinners and all of the organizational of things. She was just different. She would show up on Saturday afternoon to make sure the flowers were set in front of the church. They were from her garden. And if somebody didn't have flowers in front of the church, she would make sure that it was done exceedingly well. And at 80 years old, she would bend down and she would pick up the mats into the entryway of the church, and she would shake the grass and the dirt off of them. Nobody was ever looking at her doing that. I would see it from time to time out my office window. Why did she do that? Why did she submit in such a way? She earned a ton of honor and respect with her age and with how she lived her life, but she would go on even more to serve other people, to submit and honor people who walked through the doors of the church. Why did she do that? Not because people were looking, but because she saw her worth in Christ, that it earned for her the privilege of serving and honoring others. Marriages are hard. They're places of intense sanctification. Relationships are hard. And those two are places of intense sanctification. But what will you do with it? Will you see it as this is what God has given to me to stretch and to grow me and to use me to be a witness for His glory? Because the hostile watching world is looking at you. And of all the places in Scripture, this is the only place here, especially for you wives, where you can preach the gospel without speaking. It's in your submission. And it's in your honoring of your wives. Everywhere else we are called to speak of the gospel. But here, in an unbelieving relationship, the gospel's preached in how you live. This should humble us. But this should cause us to see our lives with even greater purpose than what we might have thought thus far. Let me pray. Lord, we give you thanks this day that you would speak to us of your word, that you would guide and direct us, that you would help us. Lord, for those of us who aren't bound in marriage, we would pray that you would bless us as a congregation together, married and unmarried. Lord, we would pray that you would help us to see how it is that we interact with others, that you have called us according to your purpose, that we simply don't exist in this world for ourselves, but we exist for you and for your glory. And so we pray, Lord, that you would continue to change us and conform us unto your very own likeness, that you would beautify us and adorn us internally, as you have said here in the Scriptures. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand together.